The words of God given to us today are Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1 to 7. That's page 399 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the first love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Amen. A movie released in 2000 titled The Family Man is aired on TV quite frequently in the year end because it's set on Christmas. Jack Campbell, who is Nicolas Cage, left for London to work for Barclay Bank despite his girlfriend Kate's situation. The promise he would return in 1 year couldn't be kept. And 13 years have passed. Jack became the CEO of an investment venture company, the most powerful in Wall Street. So he became able to live in a penthouse in Manhattan, New York, riding in a Ferrari and wearing a suit worthy of more than $2,000. He thought he had everything that a successful man could have. To maintain such life, he believed that it is natural to work even at Christmas Eve, and making a merger successful would make his life Christmas all year round. So he pushed his employees that way too. Late at Christmas Eve, Jack entered a grocery store while walking an empty street outside his company. He had his life totally changed when buying a lottery of a black guy named Cash, who was actually an angel, and who was trying to exchange his winning lottery and abruptly turned into a robbery. Jack said to Cash that he could face a regretful consequence, meaning he ends up in jail. But Cash responded saying, "You feel more regretful than me, don't you? But it was your decision," and disappeared. When Jack woke up in Christmas morning, everything was changed. In a strange bed, he was with Kate. And soon, his two kids and a big dog came up into his bed. Surprised, Jack went to his home in New York, but a janitor stopped him at the front door. At the moment, Cash appeared in his Ferrari and has gone saying, "This is your life when you would have married to Kate. It's different life, so you just can take a sneak peek. Then you would understand what is really important." Helplessly, Jack got back to his family in a small town in New Jersey, but had to live a very different life. He earned his living selling tires at a store run by his father-in-law. He walked the dog and took his daughter to a nursery. On Tuesdays, he changed diapers for his son. He gradually got used to such living, although it was hard at first. Especially, he found something that he didn't know before about Kate. He sometimes fights with Kate over a piece of cake, becomes touched by a fake luxury brand suit, which he longed for. He was deeply moved by a song. Lala means I love you for Kate. Precisely speaking, by a video clip where he sang the song for Kate. Several months later, with a proposal from the owner of his old company who visited his tire shop to the same position that he used to work, he was swayed, but determined not to go following Kate, who doesn't want a life in Wall Street. Everything was a dream when Jack woke up, but it was so vivid that he went to Kate, and she was packing to leave her office for Paris. Actually, Kate was a lawyer. The two confirmed they still in love each other at an airport, and the movie ends with a scene where the two have teas at a coffee shop. In the movie, Jack left Kate at first. For him, to become successful in London was greater than getting Kate's love. In reality, it would not be easy to survive as an investment expert for 13 years and only in all Wall Street. Then he would have to live every day with extreme tension and insomnia. In the first scene, Kate tried to stop Jack and said, "It's not a plan that makes us great, but it's us being together. I would choose us." Jack says to Kate what the months he spent in a dream were like at the airport where Kate was about to leave for Paris, saying, "If you get on that plane right now, it disappears forever, I know. We could both go on with lives and we'd both be fine. But I've seen what we can do, what we can be together. I choose us." In today's scripture, there is Ephesus church similar to Jack. The church of Ephesus accomplished a lot like Jack, who made his best effort for success, but lost first love, which was actually the most valuable, and thus ended up in a situation to go back to the beginning. The Lord tells us, Christians, through his words to the seven churches in Asia Minor, the Lord started his words toward the Ephesus church, as in verse 2 and 3. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. The Lord says he knows Ephesus church. To know is eido in Greek, meaning to completely and perfectly know through experience, not through knowledge. Therefore, the verb eido is also often used to mean to see, while being translated into to know. In his letter to seven churches in Asia Minor, the Lord uses some words in common. He who has an ear, and he who overcomes. To know, or eido, also appears in common. The Lord visits churches with an angel of church in his right hand, and sees and knows the status of each church. We are also church. The Lord sees and knows our life. How do you feel about that? Is it hope and encouragement for you that God knows us? Or are you nervous? Only those who knows the Lord knows us can see the Lord and the word that God does. David, who deeply recognized that God knows, sings a song as in Psalm chapter 139, verse 1 to 4. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. How could an amazing and complete knowing of God be better expressed than this? There's nothing we can do behind God's back. The more we desire, the more we became selfish, and the more we are out of the truth, the more we want God would not know. However, no matter how men want to hide from God, that place is nothing more than among the trees where Adam and Eve hid themselves. We are and will be all those who have mercy of God's perseverance and tolerance, but will be able to walk more righteously our life as mature Christians and God's children when perceiving God's knowing. The Lord said that he knew Ephesus church. Specifically, he said he knew your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. The deeds here were rephrased as hard work and perseverance, meaning deeds are hard work and perseverance. Hard work is kopos in Greek, and I told you this means a work hard enough to make someone completely exhausted. Ephesus church served God as a worker on a construction site. Does his hammering under the burning sun or sawing in a bitter cold to make their church as a real church. Perseverance is hypomone in Greek, meaning to stand still without being swayed under any situation. In a vanity market like Ephesus, in a place of superstition and pleasure, amid the Roman values that force us to worship emperor, how much hardship did the people of Ephesus church endure? Therefore, in verse 3, they say they have persevered and have endured hardships and have not grown weary. In our faith as well, there's always perseverance and hard work. We should work hard for a good thing, which we should do, and persevere what we must not, or else. The harder we try, the further we get from the Lord. And there were those who claimed to be apostles and wicked men in Ephesus church. The church tested them and unveiled their untruthfulness. At the time, there were teachers who traveled from a region to another to teach the Bible. And the wicked men are deemed to be those who believed in Gnosticism or the Nicolaitans. And those who claimed to be apostles were probably the same. There are people who are considered as an apostle except the two apostles of Jesus, Paul, Barnabas, and Jesus' brother Jacob, the writer of Jacob. There were more than 12 apostles for 3 years when Jesus stayed on earth. When Judas Iscariot killed himself after selling Jesus, they decided to have someone who replaced him. The qualification is as follows. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. One of those who have been with Jesus the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out from the beginning of God's public life to the time when Jesus was taken up. And Matthias was chosen and became one of the 12 apostles. Men who claim to be apostles are considered to be those who first followed the Lord when young and then changed, so wandered around, making their living teaching the doctrine of Gnosticism. Christians are not those whom God speaks highly of, not those who compliment themselves. Gnosticists thought that material and physical things were evil, intellectual and spiritual things were good, and therefore thought that one could move from the material world to the spiritual realm through Gnosis. Therefore, they thought that there was no way that a holy God, Jesus, would have come in the body of a human being, which was evil, so they claimed and taught that Jesus was not actually born as a man, but was seen by us as an illusion of our eyes, so-called Gnosticism. In the church where I grew up, a woman, elder, used to begin her prayer during worship services like this. from the highest of throne in heavens, you came to the lowest of earth, having taken on the mask of a man, etc., etc. This is, in fact, the claim of Gnosticists. Jesus did not take on the mask of a man, but he actually became a real man. The hard work and perseverance of the member of the Ephesus church, how they persevered, endured, and did not tire in opposing evil men and weeding out false prophets, went to such an extent as to be recognized by the Lord. In terms of the movie Family Man, it was a church that was recognized in the Wall Street of faith life. But in the same way that Jack let go of Kate in order to become successful, the church of Ephesus avoided what was important in order to keep the tradition of faith. Verse 4 testifies as to what that was. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. What was regretful about the church of Ephesus was that it had left behind first love. But we feel very surprised and flustered in reading this rebuke in verse 4 when the Lord had just complimented the church of Ephesus to great length in verse 2 and 3. It feels to us like parents saying to a child who brought home a report card, "I know you studied hard and at times pulled an all-nighter. You didn't hang around with kids with bad characters, and even when they wanted you to go to PC rooms and bars with them, you didn't go. Thank you for not giving up and studying to the end. But why are your grades too terrible?" Think carefully about why your grades are poor and start again. If you don't, then forget about studying. We are sending you to a factory to work. The Greek word for rebuke is a preposition, kata. Therefore, in English Bible, "I have something to rebuke you about" has been translated as "I hold this against you." But Greek word kata, rather than being translated as meaning against something, is more often translated as in accordance with something. I do not mean to imply that the Bible has been translated incorrectly, and I don't know Greek that well. But what I want to say is that Jesus is probably not someone who compliments the church of Ephesus and all of a sudden hits them from behind with a rebuke. What I feel is the regret that the Lord has about the church of Ephesus, having abandoned the first love, and his heartfelt hope that it would recover the love again. At the time, not only the church of Ephesus, but the churches in Asia Minor were going through extreme suffering due to the persecution by Emperor Domitian. If one did not confess that Caesar is God, one's assets were seized and social positions were stripped. And even so, they were zealous in keeping the faith while living in underground tunnels and opposing false prophets. So to me, verse 4 reads as if the Lord is saying, "I've got something to say to you while being on the same side. I really regret that you have forsaken your first love." So the Lord is wishing that the church of Ephesus would remember what it was like when it first met the Lord, what happened then, and recover the first love. Among the gospel songs that we sang a lot in the past, there is a song called When I First Met the Lord. It's made up of three verses. They tell of how one first met the Lord, who abandoned glory to come. One was suspicious about whether the Lord was real. After that, one met the Lord again, but lived a wayward life again. But in seeing how the Lord continues to love without changing, one resolves to live for the Lord. If we recall the lyric and parts, the meaning of the song, I believe the meaning of the song will be clearly communicated to you. When I first met the Lord, I was sick with sin. He took my hand quietly and said, "Rise." I will always live by following Lord Jesus. I will follow Him with my cross to bear. Hallelujah, I will praise Him in glory, in joy of having met Him. I like the word first heart. I recall the grace of God who called me, who did not know anything about who God is, who had no interest in what eternity is, and who opened my spiritual eyes. And when I think about how He called me, who is not worthy, who is weak, and who is rather pathetic to ministry, I cannot but automatically confess in thanksgiving, "Who am I that You are guiding me?" I thought that You only needed the Bible and the hymn book to prepare sermons, but now I know that You also need tissues. There are times that I am overwhelmed with emotions about the Lord's calling for us. But these times, I am concerned that I don't use as much tissues as before. I think back on my first heart, so that I am not on the path of forsaking the first love. What was your first love with the Lord like? What kind of intimacy did you enjoy with Him? Didn't you confess that You alone are enough, and I will live my whole life for the Lord? Wasn't it the case that you couldn't leave even after the service was over, and was moved by the tears over the grace that had called you to Him? If you feel the words, "I hold this against you, you have forsaken the love you had at first," pricking at you, then let us turn around and love the Lord more than before. There's no other way than loving the Lord from one's center in order to glorify His name and renewing the churches. Let's bring back the love that was lost to material things, to fame, to status, to hobbies and talents, to worldly values, and to the market of vanity. If you have just started your faith life, or If you have attended the church for a long time but do not know the first love, then I pray that the day will come soon that you will come to share your first love with the Lord. In the movie Family Man, Jack and Kate came to recover their first love when it say, "I choose us," rather than "I choose me." It is the same with our faith. When I choose myself in my faith life, we are bound to lose the first love. But if we choose us, meaning the Lord and I, then we will become Christians who do not lose the first love during our entire lives. Let us pray. Father God, there were hard work and perseverance at the Church of Ephesus. They also had the spiritual discernment not to tolerate evil men and distinguish false prophets. In order to reveal the kingly qualities of the Lord, they suffered, endured, and were not lazy, but they let go of the first love, which was even more important. But we cannot rebuke the Ephesus church or point out its fault in forsaking first love, because we are no better. Although the Church of Ephesus gave up a lot of things in order to keep the faith under the persecution of Rome, we find it really difficult to give up anything and dislike it. In the same way that Jack, a family man, gave up love in order to live a good life in New York, which is the 21st century Ephesus, no, Rome, we too don't let go of things that we should let go, and let go of love that we shouldn't let, and cause your heartaches. Lord, help us to look back on what hard work and perseverance there is in our faith life. Help us to establish ourselves well through service, and more than anything, may the first love with the Lord become the encouragement and grace from God in my life today, and not some distant memory. And so as we serve the Lord more, may we experience more how precious He is, and to confirm how much He loves us as we love Him. We pray especially that if there are those who are here who have yet to experience the first love with the Lord, You will grant them grace. May You reveal Your glory to them. May they understand the reality of the poverty of their beings. May they put an end to the life in which they were the master of their lives, in which they only chose themselves. Accept Jesus Christ, who saved us even by tearing His body on the cross, as their master, and live the life in which they choose us, the Lord and I. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.